Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamblett, Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of Money Now Lao. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, they're joined by Hamblett and Sidgwick to look ahead to Raw and the go-home show, Michael Hamblett, ahead of Elimination Chamber this weekend.
Yeah, that's not the typical tee-up question it might normally be, is it? These are weird pay-per-views still. They're based on this one and the one before it, they are now being seen as WrestleMania-sized events or big deals or all that sort of stuff, but it's just weird. Like, the what hangs in the air is weird, and especially when... Is this the second week of the sci-fi thing?
Yeah.
So, based on last week's Raw, even though this is a go-home, we like it for podcast copy and discussion, but they haven't really been familiar with the principle of a go-home show in about 20 years.
Yes.
So not only is this that, but it's also that for one of these odd shows that not everybody necessarily wants to get as excited about anyway.
I'm expecting some incredibly captivating twists and turns. Who realistically is going to benefit from the most momentum? Because if Austin Theory wins a match tonight, right, he might have a chance of like eliminating Lesnar from the chamber.
Yeah.
If you get some momentum,
yeah, fair.
That's how it works.
It's not just for the WWE title as well. I'm assuming that counts as two wins in your win-loss rankings if you win the Elimination Chamber.
Yep.
Because there's or however many people you pin, that's one extra result.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be crunching them numbers ahead of WrestleMania season and seeing who's most deserving of, I don't know, hypothetically an Intercontinental title shot, like all the other people in the Elimination Chamber have to bear that in mind.
Mm.
Or Damian Priest's US title. He's got a hell of a reign on the go at the moment, guys. Hell of a reign.
Hell of a run.
Hell of a run.
A run that could quite easily come to an end tonight.
Yeah, nobody would bother that killed him.
He's dead.
He's defending the title against AJ Styles days before AJ Styles challenges for the WWE Championship.
Why?
So either way, either AJ Styles like, I've got this title, but I don't want it. I want that one. Or he loses en route to potentially become a world champion.
Well, he's not going to potentially become world champion at all.
Okay, fair.
But this is how much titles mean less than nothing in this company. Hot take. Sizzling hot take there. A match that I think will be built towards in a way that loads of people will be like, yeah, man, this build's awesome. When really it's just AJ Styles and Edge both saying variations of, I respect you. And like these promos will be dire. But if they have a match at WrestleMania, given how smartly AJ Styles works, how awesome edges at the counter, how both of them are both genuinely great counter defensive wrestlers. Like if Edge versus AJ Styles happens at Mania, right, I'll be bang up for it, genuinely. Mm-hmm. On the night, on the TV, I won't care that much, but we're thinking it's a great, great attraction, great match. The closer AJ Styles comes to succeeding in his pursuit of championship glory, the further away that match is from happening viably, because Edge is going nowhere near the United States title. And we know he's got the pull as well. Like, Edge versus AJ Styles, WrestleMania match graphic. Yes. Viable. Feasible.
Mm-hmm.
Something I'm interested in. Edge versus AJ Styles, WrestleMania match graphic with the United States title photoshopped on it is the stuff of lunatics from like 2012.
It sounds like, you know, like Vince has done so many awful
custom photoshops,
like so many awful things to Triple H lately. He's like, all right, I got you something, Paul. He's like, what's this? And he just reveals behind like a red curtain. He pulls the thing and he reveals it, and it's that graphic with the United States title. And I said, you were right, they were B plus players. Here you go, the fight for the little title. He's like, thanks, Dad.
The closer AJ Styles comes to winning a championship, is the further away he gets from doing anything meaningful at WrestleMania. So I hope to hell he doesn't win tonight, because I'd like to see the Edge match. What a damning state of affairs.
What's going on with Damian Priest? I mean, AJ Styles won this fair and square, this what was it, championship contenders match last week. He's also lost that undefeated streak to shenanigans from Kevin Owens, but Kevin Owens hasn't even got himself a title shot as a result of that. But have they just gone cold on Priest, do you think?
The other way, they've gone hot. They started paying attention. That's what's happened to Damian Priest. A lot of their discussions about how he remained unbeaten on Monday Night Raw were being, which was cool, but was being presented in a way where they've worked hard to preserve his streak. You know, you're going to start seeing the signs in the crowd soon, just like Goldberg, where Damian Priest is 52-0 because he's gone a whole year without losing a match. It was like, no, it was a complete accident. Like, they've got they're looking down the list of the guys. And, you know, like that old thing about Vince looking at 8x10s when he was wanting NXT call-ups. I wouldn't be surprised if his list just had, like, wrestlers' heights. Like, what's this guy doing? I don't know. We're going to put him in there with, like, one of the mid-carders. 6'3"? 6'4"? He wins. And that was how he won every single week. Didn't care about his character, just the tall guy walking past him in Gorilla. He's winning, right, Bruce? And then one week, he might have been like, actually, no, boss, we've got him losing tonight. Oh, I don't think so. Change the finish. Like, the message communicated to the referee, he wins. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes up with the half Damien, half Priest gimmick. And look where we're at now. That's the first point of his entire main roster run where it appeared as if they were actually paying him creative attention. I was going to say for better and worse. It's always for worse. That's redundant. For worse, they paid him some creative attention. We get this. And all of a sudden, his character feels, if not fully dead, half dead. You can pick if it's the Damien or the Priest. That's up to you. But the character and wherever they were going with him feels dead. He was in December, not enthusiastically. I'm not going to lie and be performative about it. He wasn't enthusiastically a potential Royal Rumble winner, but he was a legitimate contender. People were like, well, he keeps winning and he's tall and he's not got... He's not got loads of time left. He's metal.
He can talk.
Yeah. Like, there's enough reasons to sort of suggest, yeah, why not? By the time the show came around, they'd got into that Priest Damien stuff and he was dead.
I feel like, yeah, tonight we're getting probably a DQ finish in this title match that in their eyes protects everyone. So Damien Priest goes a little bit too Damien. AJ Styles can...
Priest is just an evil as word.
Fair point.
I'm quite keen on AJ, like, because it's the United States title. I can see like AJ saying, like, to Sidgwick's point, I want to take this title. I want to wave it like a flag because I want to show that America, just like WWE, can influence the world. It's Saturday night. Like, AJ's that kind of guy that would do that kind of thing. So I want that pretty much promo from him. I want some real jingoism dressed up as
pictures.
Yeah.
Now, tonight is the return of Brock Lesnar. He's not been here for a couple of weeks, I think it was. A week or two, certainly. And he's here to apparently send a message ahead of the Elimination Chamber, where, of course, the WWE Championship, Bobby Lashley's WWE Championship, is on the line. How do you see it playing out with Lesnar and the other Chamber challengers that aren't in title matches already tonight?
Hopefully ghoulishly entertaining, because if it's focused on Lashley, I don't want to watch it anymore. We all enjoy big banter Brock, but I think it's when it was at the expense
of the show.
Who, Brock?
Yeah,
Brock's advertised.
Ah, so like we all like that. Oh, what's he wearing? Why is he still dressed for work on the farm? But the negging of Bobby Lashley was becoming frustrating. If you like Lashley, we talked about how the babyface heel dynamic was odd and it fell off, and you could feel that even Bobby Lashley is forced to bend the knee to Brock Lesnar when it comes to Vince McMahon's affections. There is nobody quite like Lesnar in that regard. And I just don't want to watch that playing out in the form of their back and forths. The rest of the people in the chamber, however, don't care about them. So let's have Brock just wage a war on some of them. Maybe even you write one of them out last minute with an injury. I know there's potentially other avenues that could happen on this show, but maybe in his effort and his quest to prove a point to Bobby Lashley, somebody else bites the bullet ahead of Saturday.
I think we could well see a a promo train at some point on this show. Maybe more than once, Sige. But yeah, we got Brock Lesnar back.
that stuff.
Yeah, you've got Brock Lesnar back. So you have him and Bobby Lashley having a little moment together in the ring and him saying, I'm leaving Saudi Arabia with that WWE Championship. And then maybe Seth freaking Rollins comes down and has his way through a promo. Riddle's obviously busy with some other fun on this show. We've talked about AJ Styles. I think if you're going to have someone eat something tonight, and I'm going to expand on this in a second, why not have Austin Theory try and get a selfie with Brock Lesnar?
I had the exact same thought running through my mind as you, Adam Wilborn. Terrifying. I love that. I like the idea of Brock and Bobby squaring up to each other, having a promo duel where they're both kind of implicitly saying, that's WWE, they could outright bury everybody else. But the implication is that, come on, we're the ones who've got the most like realistic chance of winning, so let's just us promote this fight. Austin Theory comes out, oblivious to his imminent doom. The longer the sort of dread, the funnier it is for everybody else. Brock Lesnar with that stupid big daft grin on his face, pretending to play along. And the actual selfie would do, like, go viral. Raw never actually trends. Raw never actually does penetration, the engagement. I think it was Brandon Thurston who said that the Google penetration is the worst since records began in 2004. So if they could actually have big banter Brock doing a big selfie with Austin Theory and then killing him, the actual selfie might actually get traction online and get memed.
So you get two options here. WWE, we know, number one UK wrestling podcast, so we know they listen. So I think you can cover yourself off here, WWE. Have him take the selfie with Brock playing along, like you say, and then it might not come off, so you've got the selfie in reserve. Try and get a selfie.
Is this you pitching physically impossible things again?
Well, no, it's not that physically impossible for once for me. Whilst he has him up for the F5. Not whilst he's hitting the F5. That is ridiculous. But what if selfie and Brock picks him up and Austin Theory snaps another selfie, terrified face on Brock Lesnar, tomato head and shoulders?
Bring both those pictures together as a way to get good viral content. What if, as he gets swept up, he accidentally knocks it onto video and you get a first-person view getting F5'd as video, as like Twitter video content?
V-O-V-F-5.
And it even makes sense from a character point of view, because stupid old Vince McMahon once, like, asks, can you get me a picture of that Brock Lesnar? Because he's forgot he's hiding. Oh, I like him. Who's that big guy? Get me a picture of him.
Because I like that, and I like the idea of Austin Theory turning up to Saudi Arabia, because I'm a sadist, turning up to Saudi Arabia, you know, maybe comedy neck brace, or at the very least sort of taped up. And he's like, but you know, and Vince is there, I'm going to fucking, you know, Vince has been through sterner stuff, he's, you know, etc. He's got a history with neck braces at the end of the day. And he's like, you know, Dad, effectively what this relationship is now, I'm going to soldier on through. And then as he's trying to get into the Elimination Chamber, Kevin Owens comes down and kicks the crap out of him. I can't remember. I do apologise. Whoever tweeted me, the I think it was a news question. I'll try and dig it out whilst we're talking about this. I think Kevin Owens should... He's got this panic we've talked about not being featured around WrestleMania. And not only him...
In a famous Canadian province, Texas.
not only is he sort of paranoid about that, but also you could sell... If Rollins isn't starting the match, Rollins in another pod going, oh, great news, mate.
Yeah, me and Sidgwick vehemently disagreed on this Kevin Owens thing last week, because in a rare, like, twist, he actually held them to some standards and I didn't. About, like, this Kevin Owens thing makes so much sense to me in the fact that WWE is broken. The idea that he would have to resort to something incredibly desperate to get on the WrestleMania card, despite the fact that he's Kevin Owens and despite the fact that he's just beaten the guy that beat him to qualify for it. All those logic points that you were right to flag.
Very much so.
The stuff it can feed, I think, is interesting predominantly because of what we've got with Rollins. You've got the immediate thing of the Austin Theory, I'll take your place, thanks very much. Ultimate opportunist, Edge, Kofi Kingston layup.
Wild Wilson, great tag on Twitter. That's the one who suggested this to us.
I really like that. Assuming that Owens has maybe agreed to work the shows.
That's the difference, isn't it? Yeah.
We don't know, but then we've made assumptions of other wrestlers recently, and you know that's not been the case, so who knows that. And it is quite a good hook. It at least ties into the seeds of dissent between Owens and Rollins at present, which is who exactly is lying to who. Owen's starting to gradually feel like he can't trust Seth, and him really being better at being the heel. If you're going to force one of them to be a babyface, I think what we saw with Seth and Roman was that somehow elements of this character that Seth plays, whatever the hell it is, actually resonate as a babyface. Mm. So Owens is the one that I think can turn that up for Seth. I'm not opposed to any of this playing out like that. I think it is relatively in service of these characters that are doing their best to elevate bad material.
And Owens maybe even breadcrumbing us with his callback to the Festival of Friendship on social media over the weekend.
Yeah, potentially.
But it could be one of those things yet again where we're like, look at all this work that the wrestler's doing, and they turn up and he's like, oh, fuck.
L.A. Vince.
Yeah.
What's the next talking point?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Well, the next talking point is regards the women's championship. Lita has been dominating Becky Lynch, I think it's fair to say, in recent weeks.
Standing tall.
How will Becky respond to Lita tonight, do you think, Sige?
I don't know, right? Because WWE does premises. They don't do stories. They don't actually build stories. They just do premises. So the premise behind this match is that Lita is once respected by Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch respects her no more. She feels like she's surpassed Lita. She has evolved from what Lita first set out to accomplish. It's nice that you're still around, I guess, but for me to fully replace you, I've got to beat you. Decent premise for a story. They don't really build it through teasing, through angles. So we know the story. We kind of know the end of the story. I don't know what's left for them to do. Maybe that's a lack of imagination on my part. Maybe it's because they do premises and not story, and they literally tell you in promos, the beats of the story without actually telling you it or showing you it. So I've got any idea, Hamlet?
Well, they kind of hit the peak a week early with the build is why. It's a video package would be best placed here because the verbals have been strong. The physical teases, unexpectedly great. Like they've actually promoted a decent match, which I think most people would have given Becky Lynch and Lita a bit of a free pass on having. It was all about how much could you... You're not going to believe that Lita's going to win a title, right? So it becomes more about how much are you going to enjoy this? How much are you going to enjoy buying into the story at all that Lita stands a chance? They kind of nailed that last week for me, genuinely. The physical stuff they did was good. The motivations were really well established. All you can do this week pretty much is dilute it. Whether or not you have Becky Lynch wrestle and win comprehensively as a way to say, look, all the bullshit aside, here I am doing this week on week. When, pretty much whenever I want, I can breeze into a town, beat the today's best wrestler. I've got no problem with yesterday's best wrestler. Mm. And that's like one last thing from Becky Lynch in her gear, in the ring, being big time Bex and the man sort of rolled into one. But there's nothing more than that to do. If anything, I think you maybe chip away at the good work they've done. So the less the better.
You know what I would do? I'd have Lita in action. Not Lita. Once is enough. Becky Lynch in action, right? And she defeats some rubbish babyface. I don't know who. They're all being portrayed as being rubbish at present, so pick one. I would book Lita, not Lita, why am I doing this? Becky Lynch to dominate said opponent. No hope spots, not the time. With the idea being that Lita's got kind of one iconic move that is like completely inextricable from her act. Becky Lynch to sort of prove that, oh, she's all that Lita was, and then some, could scale the ropes, motion to perform the moonsault. Commentary, obviously having been briefed on the story, could then go, oh, it looks like Becky Lynch is going to like prove that she's better than Lita and doesn't even need to face her by going for the moonsault. When Becky Lynch goes to the top rope, she can kind of look a little bit apprehensive about doing it. Sell the fact that Lita can perform the kill shot. Becky Lynch is too scared to even do it, so that at the event itself, when Lita goes to do it, it's the move that Becky Lynch can't even do, much less kick out of, and it'll inform, hopefully, a really strong near fall.
I really like that. Yeah, I hope, fingers crossed, they do something along
those lines. Yeah, they won't.
Finally, looking ahead to Elimination
Chamber. That's not finally. Don't deprive the people, because we are going to play some games.
Oh, we've got some other things to do. I'm just talking in terms of Elimination Chamber. And this is arguably stepping on the toes.
You might have got worried.
One of our games, because we haven't got the sixth member of the Women's Elimination Chamber match for the number one contenders Raw Women's Championship match. WrestleMania shot, basically. We've got Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Nikki A.S.H. and Liv Morgan confirmed as an extra space, obviously, that's not been filled yet. Do you think we find that out tonight? And is it someone who's been making her way, let's say, to Raw for quite some time?
Yeah, I do genuinely want it to be the Derek Goddess. And this was my prediction for that porn star guy that's been moonlighting as a psychiatrist. Do you want to go in the fucking chamber? I think it's going to be good for you. It just gives it a shot. It feels like this has been primed for a very specific return. Whether or not they leave it a mystery until Saturday itself and you get some sort of huge bap for a surprise return. Because with it being a Saudi Arabia show, they could be paying another legend, couldn't they? Off the top of my head, Nikki Bella, for example, is offered a fortune to work the show. And she's like, aye, I'll have some of that. And goes and works it. But all of this Alexa Bliss stuff, it's one thing for the people with their like tweeting phones in the left hand and the penis in the right to knock out a Dark Goddess tweet every week after these segments. But for WWE, it's always felt like it's building to a match, felt like it was going to the Rumble, and it didn't. Why not here? There's no happening in the segments. If it's not to build to an actual announced return, what's it for?
I'll save my Alexa Bliss predictor for the games.
Okay.
What would be an incredibly WWE thing to happen? Right? Just think of the worst impulses WWE has.
Last Chance Losers Battle Royal.
Well,
I didn't have qualifiers.
So what could happen is this.
Yeah, we just had one of the people in the chamber beating another one of the person in the chamber in like 4 minutes last week. Yeah.
Ever since SummerSlam 2021, when Becky Lynch dropped Bianca Belair in like, 12 seconds, whatever it was, everyone's been going, guys, let it play out.
Ooh.
So in the meantime, we've been letting it play out. It's like, all right, okay, this is kind of diminished returns, but the idea is we're going to build Bianca Belair up. And, you know, SummerSlam rematch at Mania isn't ideal, but it's people want to see Bianca Belair. And without being a completely pedantic, snarky twat that I can sometimes be, I really enjoy Bianca Belair, earnestly. So I can understand why they went this direction, except have they? Because already it feels like a secondary concern to the return of Ronda Rousey. They're not, with all due respect, keeping a silhouette free on the graphic for it to be some ham and egger on the normal roster. Who's in this match?
Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Dujap, and Nikki A.S.H.
There's the Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch payoff. It's Carmella's redemption from SummerSlam.
Yeah, it's not going to be that. It's not going to be someone who's there, let's face it. Silhouettes are special. What if
all... Anyone who comes out of a silhouette's over.
Yeah. What if all of this...
It's going to be Brian May.
Let it play out. Right, okay, well, didn't really play out at the Royal Rumble, but it's always going to play out at Elimination Chamber. It always plays out. Guys, it always plays out. What if, like, days after Bianca Belair is instructed by WWE's social media team, God damn it, put over Saudi Arabia, and more to the point, WWE's influence over the world. So Bianca Belair, I think she was one of the ones who was made to tweet.
Yeah.
WWE continues to influence the world. So just when you get her to propagandize the brutal kingdom of Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm.
let it play out. Doesn't happen. Trish Stratus is in the match, and it's Trish Stratus versus Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. And Becky Lynch can, Bianca Belair can, like, yeah.
Win the Andre the Giant, don't we?
Yeah.
Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal.
Can't rule it out. The Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal.
Well, I like those suggestions. I think it may well be Alexa Bliss. And, well, I haven't really got anything prepped for the game, so I'm just going to say it here. Just, like, just do the fucking Rorschach test. I keep going on about this, but it's just a chamber. It's just a chamber. There you go. Or if it's not Alexa Bliss, you were close, Michael Hanford. Just not quite the right name. The name on the match does read Bella, but it's Saudi Modus. And they can be like, have women got rights in Saudi Arabia now? Yes.
Can't you let...
a journalist? Yes.
Have women got rights over there? Not really. Not really.
Yes, with an asterisk.
Is this the Alexa Bliss game?
We might as well do it now. Yeah, go on.
What was yours? The Rorschach.
The Rorschach test, or she spells out Elimination Chamber. He's like, what does this look like? And it's like...
In goo.
It's Elle McPherson, and she's like, L. And then, like, I don't know. He's probably like,
oh, God. We've deduced that this guy is very much like... He's got, like, male porn star energy. What if he says something to the effect of, well, Alexa, it looks like there's only one thing that can remove you from this childlike state, and it's time to remind you that you're an adult.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's what he is. Maybe that's what the...
I know I'm supposed to only get paid by the hour for these things, but I don't even touch my clock.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't... It's the oddest stuff. Why go to all of these lengths to erase or retcon a gimmick that they do this every week? They do this every single week without even bothering to tell you about it. So why go to all of these lengths just to make Alexa Bliss not being infantilized by a demon clown, which it goes so underreported that WWE inadvertently created a storyline in which a non-scroomed someone and made them into a child. That's what happened here.
Yeah.
There was an initial relationship.
They used the word fiend, but it was very much in a way that, like, a British tabloid would.
Yes. She's described her attraction to the fiend in the summer of 2020 as like a moth to a flame, which is...
A fancy little fiend.
Yeah. Which is like a dangerous attraction that you know is not really good for you, but you're just compelled. So she fancies a fiend. Yeah. Right? And then the fiend is like... Fancy you back. I don't know why it's Vince McMahon. I don't know why it's Vince McMahon. And then they're just simply together and they're baby faces because WWE is like, spooky kids. That's something that isn't wrestling that might sell.
Oh,
and it's like, well, wait a minute. You've nonced him. You've made him into a nonce. How did no one...
After you just like railed on Reggie and Dana Brooke last week, and the party, like, that's not the real spark. Look to Alexa and the Fiend. Oh, I'm fancy you back. That's a relationship, Reggie and Dana Brooke. There's no such thing as a fiend. There's a fiend zone. There's not a friend zone.
Yeah.
Fancy you back.
Any Alexa Bliss fun to be had on your predictions?
Nah, she's waiting the pape. That's it.
Yeah.
More Dark Goddess transition stuff. Maybe it's always got to be related to somebody having a Tommy Tank. The hair gradually going back to like the blonde colours or whatever. They've like, what are these other weirdos on? I know it's like the Dark Goddess. It's a mix of the two, isn't it?
Mm.
Maybe just the dress is like a tearaway deal and it's a Alexa Bliss gear underneath.
Yeah, it does just like, do that, yeah, to be fair. Well, it's obvious, a room full of three married men. Today's, of course, Valentine's Day. And there is a budding romance on Monday Night Raw between Dana Brooke and Reggie. Any developments you see on that this week? I mean, we've already got big things planned for the NXT 2.0 preview tomorrow surrounding this. It's a day late, but it's WWE, so never matters. Do you see anything tonight. They sort of planted the seeds of, ooh, will they, won't they, last week.
What was the first D in the Dennis system?
I don't remember.
Demonstrate value.
Okay, yes.
So the idea is, we don't have this, like, spark. We're not, like, naturally attracted to each other. It's the, quote-unquote, baby phase doing things that are persuading the object of his affections into believing that he is a valuable guy who knows what's right for her. It's a very cynical game Reggie's playing, and I resent him for it. If you have to graft this hard to make yourself seem like a good person worth falling in love with, then you're not really worth falling in love with, because you're playing a tactical, strategic game, and it's odd, and it's off, and it's not the way that you should necessarily get together with someone. It should be this natural two-way street. Persistence and cynical demonstrations of, look how good of a person I am. And look how bad everybody else is, for that matter. That's the exact same thing. Showing someone how good you are. All your virtues. Look at my value. Look at how beneficial this would be for you if you went out with me, a great guy, which I'm demonstrating. Not quite a meet cute for me. It's actually very cynical and deplorable.
Totally agree. And it's only that WWE exists 20 years ago that they think that this is going, well, can't these two just get together? No, because she's not interested. But can't they just find a way to work it out?
She's explicitly said that she values him as a friend, and now he's going to have to do more things that make him more desirable to convince her that she's attracted to him.
They're going to go out for dinner together. And then just halfway through the night, like, she's just going, oh, it's a really great time. And it's just nice to sort of switch off constantly being stressed about my 24/7 title. And then he's going to, like, try and kiss her or something. And she's going to be like, what are you doing? It's like, it's Valentine's Day. What the fuck do you think I brought you here for? And then, like, all the male fans are going to be encouraged to go, oh, poor Reggie, we've all been there, right, guys? And then you'll listen to the Number One Wrestling Podcast and tell you why, in fact, no, they're wrong.
Do you know what my prediction is for tonight?
Tamina does some bollocks?
Probably. Actually, that could work.
She could be, like, a waiter at the restaurant. She's stolen the waiter's outfit and she's got one of them metal serving dish glosh things.
She would get every order wrong. She would spill your drink.
You've been working here for 20 years. Have you not got this down to a T yet?
It used to be my dad's restaurant.
What are the specials?
I don't know. But, well, I'll take what you've got there and I'll include it in mine, in my little pitch here. Because I think tonight, we've not been sponsored for this.
There's a fly in my soup. Soup, super fly.
Shut up. I'm trying to do a serious pitch here. Because Reggie, he's gone on Moonpig, right? And he's got himself a personalised Valentine's Day card that's going to be delivered to Monday Night Raw. And it's going to be delivered, it just says on top of it, to the 24/7 champion. Tonight's the night Dana Brooke loses the title. Tamina can roll her up, and then the bloke can be like, oh, who's the 24/7 champion here? And it's going to be like, to the 24/7 champion, I choose you, or whatever bollocks, right? And it's going to be like, oh, and Dana's going to be like, oh, so you want to shag her? And it's like, no, I want to shag you. But he lost the title.
It's really impressively thought through.
Yeah.
I like that.
Too much thought, if anything. Let's get serious now. What's going to happen in the RK Broga party?
I see this overlaps with another game. Can I do one of the last games?
With the game.
The game.
The game. The new game that we brought in last week, Michael Sidgwick.
I'll try and avoid that. I'll save it for the game. Okay. Very much the main event of this podcast. I'm into this. I am. The bastards, they've got me again. I thought that they'd accidentally waited too long with RK Bro, and they managed to reheat it. They took tag belts off them. They've kept it fun. The stuff with Alpha Academy has been exactly my brand of WWE bollocks, because as we say with increasing regularity on this podcast, what the hell are you watching WWE for if not to see if they can make something entertaining out of guys that are good at elevating the material, as the likes of Gable are, as the likes of Orton has been. Like, this is actively impacting the response he's getting in matches.
Yeah.
So I would argue this stuff is working objectively as well, not just if you kind of just enjoy this subjective nonsense from WWE. Toga parties, obviously it's just a WWE party, but everybody's in sheets. So whether or not that extends to Ted DiBiase and Kelly catching up backstage, I don't know. I sense it's going to end up in the ring. Chad Gable's going to be embarrassed. and Otis' sheet's going to be pulled away, and he's going to be like, oh my God, look at me, I'm in no clothes. And so that's what you work in most weeks. But with this week, he's embarrassed by it. There is another element to it, but I'll save that for the game.
Will I be asked?
What happens to the RK Broga party?
I said, come on, wrestling artist. What's going to happen in a toga party?
I don't know.
Have they got... Hang on, I'm just double checking. Is there actually... Are they fighting for the titles at... No.
Well, because they lost. That's it. So how are they still going to do it?
Out of contention.
What was the toga party? Why did they originally decide they're going to have one? To celebrate becoming contenders again?
Yes, they're number one contenders.
So maybe Orton can be pissed off wearing a toga because they're not actually the number one contenders? Does the match result last week count? Does it stand?
Seth.
That would be amazing if we had the Austin Theory attack like I booked earlier, and then you had WWE champion Bobby Lashley, tag team champion Riddle. No, tag team champion Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, and US champion AJ Styles in the match. And then you can have like title for title in the WrestleMania main event at this bloody rate.
You know how Goldberg said he would never wrestle Riddle, and if he ever sees him backstage, he'd chin him. And then you heard over time that, like, you know, the ice had thawed a little bit and they were on cordial terms and stuff like that.
He loves him like a brother now, I think. I think that was the phrase he used.
Brock similarly said, didn't he? Absolutely no chance. Never want to work with you. What if the same sort of thing happened there and they want Brock to, like, come to the toga party? And
get Brock in a toga.
Big banter Brock wears a sheet over his farm overalls and it just exists for that visual. And then he wrecks somebody at the end. He wrecks one of the chamber people that's also attending the toga party. But yeah, you get Brock in a toga for a few minutes.
Oh, is this toga's going to be covered in gravy?
You know, the best thing about Jim Ross wearing a toga, and people that talk about this enough, is obviously it was this cruel and unusual and needless punishment of him on day one of his job, obviously. But Jim Ross, being Jim Ross, desperately trying to make the best of it. But like being a professional, he wants to put something over. He wants to say, I'm having a good day, but nobody's going to believe him. But like, because I know he's this Oklahoma hillbilly guy just from a farm, disposing of puppies, all that sort of stuff. And he's wearing his toga and he's like, what do you think? And obviously the viewing world's like, I think you're absolutely fucked, mate. And then he says, look at these gold shoes. And he points down at these like shimmering gold sandals or something. It's like, he actually believes that he likes them. It's like, I may look an asshole, but look at these shoes. They're perfect. My vacation.
Well, we'll wait to see what the fallout from the RK Broga party is tomorrow. But finally, Sergi, it is time for our new game. Baby, you can drive my what? Do you want to explain the backstory to this?
Yes, if you missed it last week. As tends to happen every single year, mostly, WWE gets fascinated by vehicles. And vehicles are a vehicle to sell certain WrestleMania programs. We saw Mack trucks for WrestleMania 18, police cars for WrestleMania 35, limos for WrestleMania 26, another limo for WrestleMania 32, the big Becky Lynch truck that was going to make an appearance ahead of WrestleMania 36 before the Rona.
Didn't Cena make an entrance in a car once? Definitely driving around outside
23?
The arena.
23. Love that. That's one. More of an entrance. Usually angles on the roof. So
that's the Wilborn noise through the streets.
So where, and he's part of the car up, and he's taking a weirdly long amount of time to get out of the driver's side there.
So the game is, baby, you can drive my what? So which wrestler is going to do what with what vehicle to build what storyline? This wrestling show is absolutely untenable as something that content can be created about.
That's
why we do this.
Last week, Michael Sidgwick pitched a tractor for Brock Lesnar. Michael Hamflett predicted a unicycle for Chad Gable. And I predicted a half black, half white car for Damian Priest. Like he's some out of, you know, I don't know, Batman Forever, was it?
It's so stupid.
So stupid in my work.
Yeah.
What do you got this week, Sidge?
Well, the whole idea with the RK Bro, this is very funny. The whole idea with the RK Bro thing is that they are very different. The dynamic is straight man, moron. For a long time now, Randy Orton has been slowly becoming the idiot as well as he bonds with Riddle.
Yes.
Maybe they've thought about this. Maybe they've tactically thought, well, they're going to win the quiz challenge. They're going to agree, celebrate, toga party, and then they're going to lose. But they've already agreed to the toga party. So the idea is that RK-Bro are going to implode. WrestleMania is not that far away. Maybe Randy Orton could feel like not remotely in the mood for wearing a toga party. It's time for a celebration. It's time to let your hair down after a hard fought win, but they're lost.
And we got to focus up because we're not won anything yet.
So you want the most ridiculous image possible, much like the Festival of Friendship, right? You want the most ridiculous assortment of stuff imaginable so that it finally dawns on the serious guy, my life's being completely corrupted by this. What on earth is going on? How have I let it get to this amount of bollocks? If it gets any more bollocks, I'll be a complete joke. I need to kill Chris Jericho right now. That's what happened at the Festival of Friendship. Maybe they could do something adjacent to this on this week's Raw. It's on Sci-Fi. They won't. Massive chariot. Riddle is on this ridiculous chariot carried by about 12 different men.
All pulled by a camel.
Yeah. And he's like, Randy, I'm on a chariot. And it's this ridiculous thing. Absolutely ridiculous. And Riddle's like, and Randy Orton's going to look at it like he's wearing his toga as well. And he's like, my incredible reputation is this guy who was like really boring and intense for 20 years. It's in trouble. It is in trouble here. I have to RKO this doofus so I'm not remotely associated with this anymore. The most ridiculous possible thing at the last time, Riddle in a chariot, in a toga, RKO, we're Dunsky, we're having a match at Mania.
I like that.
That's amazing. Really good booking. Read the first 9 words of the message I sent myself ahead of this podcast.
Chariot for the toga party, horses, the whole deal.
Right?
Yes!
Great Dadleys think alike. I haven't booked it half as well as Sidgwick. I just wanted to add to that. Much like Ted DiBiase's cape and Angela the sword, we learn that the chariot and the horses are Vince McMahon's legit property. Like, that comes out later in the wash. Where are we going to get a chariot at this notice? My house. Keep one in my garage at all times. Yeah, had Riddle. I was reminded of, you know, at WrestleMania 9, obviously you've got Heenan on the camel, but Savage comes out with the grapes. I was thinking, like, Riddle's got, like, the bed of grapes lined up, and Orton's like, Jesus Christ. He's like, don't worry, Randy, I got you something. And then he's on the chariot, and he's gone to such trouble to make Randy feel like sort of this emperor of this toga party. The turn happening in the way that it compares to Festival of Friendship is brilliant. You've made serious my stupid bollocks. Because, yeah.
Genius. I haven't got anything that compares to this.
They're chariots of fire, those pictures.
Hey! Yeah. I just wrap the podcast up. I don't want to follow them. That's really... I just like some drip stuff or something for Seth Rollins. I get
A drip-mobile.
Or he's got a drip plane so he can fly him and Kevin Owens to Saudi.
A drip plane. Describe a drip plane.
What?
All the stewardesses wear
outfits. Joker outfits.
Outfits designed by Seth Rollins. And, you know, an airplane normally goes.
Does it?
Goes over. This one goes. And you like to throw the engine up.
You did it.
I must salvage it. Right,
call that in the trade force of will.
Well, let us know your thoughts ahead of Monday Night Raw on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from for daily wrestling podcasts.
That's one of the horses.
My horse just dropped it.
Hang on, let's just...
Shout out to my mate Dapper if he's listening. He said, page 79 in French, and we never let him live it down 20 years later.
Let's just double check. There we go. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, you can follow us all on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling. You can listen to the SmackDown review, the Rampage review, and, of course, watch today. You can leave us a 5-star review suggesting something short, crap, and wrestling-related for us to review instead of a god-awful Raw segment tomorrow. But for now, this has been the Raw preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.